Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baskin and Phelps, we are live at Firestone Country Club, the Cystic Fibrosis Golf Classics. He is Les Lamine. I'm Andy Baskin. We will be joined in just a moment here by Chris Vitor to get the latest on what's going on with the Cavaliers. And before we do that, let's be generous.
Well, it's time to open up the 92.3 The Fan's Lunchbox. We call our number...
Let's go 5.
Why not 18? We're at a golf course.
We could go 44. This is the 44th year we've done it. But we're going to go with 5.
Let's go with 5. 216-578-0090. Win a combo meal lunch for 4 for Mr. Hero. Mr. Hero introduces the new value snackers menu for only $2 each. Snack on the cheeseburger, crispy chicken, or grilled deli trio. Get a value snackers meal for only $4. Choose any value snackers sandwich and get a regular tater tots and a regular Pepsi. It's the Fan's Lunchbox from Mr. Hero and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
All right, let's go to the hotline. We're going to go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. We'll be joined by Chris Vitor. Hello, Chris. How are you? Hey, congratulations, and thank you for winning the Media Ryder Cup for us on Friday. I heard you did all the heavy lifting.
Guys, you should have done caller 58. You should have done caller 58 because that's our score,
that's the score
for the Media Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Did you carry the team? That's what Flar makes it sound like he had a couple nice shots, but I have a feeling you carried the team for us.
I think the best thing about our team for the Media Ryder Cup, and I don't want to sound, you know, like I'm doing a cliched answer from following a post-game show or something like that, but everybody did something. It was awesome. Like, nobody had to carry
really
the team.
It was really a team effort.
It really was. Nobody had to carry the team because we would use a handful of Filar's drives, and then we'd use some of my approach shots, and then more of Filar's approach shots, and then chips from Lima, and putts from Lima, and then Hilbert. So it was a total team effort, in the words of every other athlete out there on the planet.
I thought you weren't going to be speaking to the media after this.
I mean, I could have just avoided speaking to the media completely, like some other people have, but I feel like... this was my responsibility to chat about our win at the Media Ryder Cup. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fiedler said he didn't want to go to the podium because it was a long wait. Instead of from the locker room.
That's awesome.
Well, I did hear, yeah, I got to tell you, fans of our team are really nervous because we heard you're a free agent now and you may be playing for the Plain Dealer next year. Is there any truth to that?
Well, there were a lot of people upset with me that I did not play for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, actually. But I told them, I said, look, man, like, you've got to treat me sometimes like I'm Gordon Hayward here. I'm the prized free agent. I'm available. I work at multiple places. If you want me, you've got to recruit me. You've got to woo me. And I told Bud Shaw, I was like, buddy, like, you can't call me 2 days before the event and expect me to just join your team. I've already been recruited by Chris Filar and 92.3 The Fan. So maybe they'll start the process as soon as LeBron hits free agency next year. We'll see what happens.
Well, we were excited that you took the league minimum to come play for us, so thank you. We appreciate the veterans minimum.
Chris, I don't know if you heard the story before about the guy with the phony hole-in-one. He had a logo in his ball, and he had couldn't find his ball. He dropped it out of his pocket, and when they got to the pin, they saw it was in there already. We have verified that actually happened.
Oh, really? I did not hear about that.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Major story.
Not at that outing, at a different one. But we told the story earlier, and we verified that it in fact happened.
Oh, okay. I thought that was at the Media Ryder Cup. I didn't hear about that.
No.
And you would think
nobody would do anything honest like that. Other than Filar, nobody would do that.
All right. Before I get a phone call from the Poobah, let's actually talk about some sports. Right now, give me this is a question I asked before, okay? And so help me answer this question. If Griff is still here and Dan Gilbert doesn't make a move at general manager or extends him out, how much different does this roster look today, whether he was here or not?
I think it's a fair question. I don't necessarily know that the roster looks that much different, to be honest with you. But I think the belief that people would have would be different. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think the belief that LeBron would have in the organization would be different. And I think the belief that fans would have because you would have a well-respected, experienced general manager in place, you would feel like, okay, maybe things are quiet right now, but I believe because of that guy, things are going to turn around quickly because he has shown the ability to make magic happen in terms of trades and free agency moves. And I think it's just the unknown and what this front office or this regime is capable of that has some people feeling a little bit of trepidation right now.
Chris, based on history and Chris Grant and Danny Ferry and so on, how guys move up the food chain mm-hmm. there, is it fair to assume that Kobe Altman might be named GM in the very near future?
I think it's fair to say that for sure, Les, because beyond the fact of guys moving up and being qualified and then ready for that next step, I think there's a little part of this that Dan Gilbert doesn't value general managers the way that other owners do. And because of that, he has a hard time getting guys with a resume. And I think the other part of it is, for everything that's so great about this job, coming to the second-best team in the NBA and the best team in the Eastern Conference and a team that has LeBron James and a team that has title aspirations, a team that looks like they've got a clear path or a more clear path in the Eastern Conference than the Western Conference to the NBA Finals, there are some drawbacks to this job as well. And I think for somebody who has options and somebody who has a resume, this job is not as appealing as it has been in the past for a guy like Chris Grant, David Griffin, or Kobe Altman in this situation that's looking for that next step up. And I think you saw that with Chauncey Billups. Maybe he doesn't have great options right now this offseason, but the belief is that he's an up-and-comer, he's well-respected around the NBA, and he's somebody that other teams in the future are going to want to look at for either general manager or president or assistant coach. So he can be choosy in a way that other guys can't. And then the other thing that is involved here is that if Dan doesn't value GMs and presidents with the monetary that other owners around the NBA do, I mean, again, you're going to end up with these kinds of guys. And it's not to say that Kobe can't do a good job, and it's not to say that David Griffin wasn't ready when he stepped into the job or things like that, but your pool of candidates that you're suddenly picking from is a lot different than other owners around the NBA would pick from. And again, that doesn't mean that Kobe is ill-equipped and he can't do this job. It just means that you're narrowing that pool just by what you're willing to pay that spot.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, plane dealer, joining us right now on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. All right, let me read this tweet that came out from Ian Begley. I'm told Carmelo Anthony is confident a deal with Get done at this point with Houston on Carmelo Anthony. I should have just paraphrased him, but do you think he's going to Houston? Let's put it that way.
Well, I think the interesting thing about this whole situation, and I think this is what people failed to miss on the whole Paul George thing, there were a lot of rumblings about, hey, Paul George may want to sign long-term in Cleveland, or Paul George may want to sign long-term in X place. But at the end of the day, every team that was involved in Paul George, they didn't have to satisfy a second team in a three-team trade. The team to satisfy was Indiana. And while there were reports about Dan Gilbert signing off on a deal, the three-team deal between the Cavs, the Pacers, and the Nuggets. Like, of course he would sign off on that because he was going to get Paul George. And then Denver was satisfied with the return because Denver was getting Kevin Love, a guy that Denver has coveted for quite some time. So, of course, Denver was all good with that trade package. And the Cavs were all good with that trade package because they were getting exactly what they wanted. But at the end of the day, nobody thought to think, hey, maybe Indiana doesn't like the package that it's getting, and that's the team that has Paul George and has to be satisfied. So eventually, what Indiana wanted, Oklahoma City was willing to give. Now, you can talk about that package and whether that was the right move for Indiana to take all day long, but that's the team that you had to satisfy, Indiana. In this situation, the team that you have to satisfy is the New York Knicks. And if you're talking about the Cavs and Knicks possibly making a deal, if the Knicks are going to move on from Carmelo Anthony and they made this move with Tim Hardaway and they're going to rebuild around Kristaps Porzingis, they're not looking for players that can help in 2017-18, and that's what the Cavs have to offer. They're looking for guys that can help in 2020, 2021, things like that. Young, talented players or draft picks, very similar to what Indiana was looking for. So if you're looking at Cavs, Knicks possibly making a deal, I don't know what makes sense from New York's standpoint to give them. On the other side, you know, Houston does have some young, talented players. Clint Capella's on that roster. Eric Gordon is younger, and he's a veteran, so maybe he's the perfect mix that New York would be looking for. So I just think from a fit standpoint, if you're looking one team to another team, Houston seems to have a more attractive package potentially for Knicks than the Cavs would. So if I'm ranking them right now, if Carmelo has to go via trade, I think Houston's more likely than Cleveland. But if there's a buyout that happens, and I think it's unrealistic, but things change quickly in the NBA and anything can happen in the NBA, if a buyout happens, I think Cleveland's more likely.
Is there a time constraint as far as a buyout is concerned? Is there some limit on that, or could that happen at any time?
Could happen at any time. Could happen in January. Could happen in February. Could happen just after the trade deadline. I think the interesting thing involved here when it comes to the Cavs from their perspective is they don't have a lot to offer in free agency to prospective free agents to pry those guys away. What they have is the mid-level exception, and I don't want to bore you with the CBA or anything along those lines. But it's $5.2 million, and that's their best piece of bait to go out and fish for a free agent. If they feel like something could happen with Carmelo, they probably can't use that money on somebody else because they have to save it for Carmelo, because the odds of Carmelo getting bought out and taking like the veteran's minimum or something, knowing how much he loves money and knowing his ego and where he views himself in the NBA, that's probably not likely. So I don't know if that means that the Cavs are hanging on to it for Carmelo or if they are willing to go out and use it on somebody else. And if that costs them Carmelo, then so be it. I just think it's very interesting that the Cavs have like one piece of bait to lure a free agent, and that might have to be used on Carmelo if he does get a buyout.
All right, so Chris, where does this leave us with over Jamal Crawford? They took Osman, making a choice of him over Crawford. Where does that leave him in the scale of things? And is he an actual player that could play for the Cavaliers, or is he straight trade bait because he's young?
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. Everybody said coming into this offseason, guys, that the Cavs had to get younger and more athletic on the bench, and Chetty's the kind of guy that brings you that. I don't know if he could play. I mean, I don't know how anybody could know if he could play in the NBA at this point. I think you're taking a huge
gamble. I found highlights of him from 2 years ago last night playing in EuroLeague. So if you need to, they're on YouTube. So knock it out.
Did you think? Really give me excited. The breakdown there.
As I was watching his tape, he looked like a college guy on a kind of a pro floor. That's all. He just looked to me. The game looked slow, and his 3-point shot was kind of methodical.
I mean,
clearly, you're looking at highlights of good things. So I don't know what he would look like outside of that.
But beyond the whole skill set, there are so many variables here. Can he handle the pressure of being on a championship contending team? Can he handle America? You know what I mean? Like, he's coming to a whole new country and a whole new game and a whole new set of friends and a whole new support system and all of those kinds of things. But I believe that he fits the profile of what the Cavs wanted to accomplish this offseason and getting younger and more athletic on the second unit, and he brings that sort of thing. But again, he's going to cut into a chunk of that mid-level exception that we were talking about because he's not technically the Cavs' property. I mean, he is their property, but they have to figure out a contract for him. And if they were to give the full mid-level to somebody in free agency, Carmelo Anthony, Jamal Crawford, Tabo Sefolosha, whoever it is, then they probably couldn't bring over Chetty Osman. And I think they just have to be really choosy and really judicious on how they want to spend that mid-level exception, because that's the only means that they have to either acquire somebody else in free agency or bring Chetty over. It's just, it makes their options so limited. And when it comes to Jamal Crawford, like, that to me was a luxury signing for the Cavs. If they would have gotten him, that would have been a luxury. And using your biggest asset this offseason in terms of free agency to go out and get a guy like him, I don't think that would have been the best use of that sort of thing. So I don't think this is a huge deal for the Cavs that they missed out on Jamal Crawford, because I think there are other guys that they need more than him to try and close the gap on the Warriors. Look, they had the second-best offense in the NBA. That's just the reality of it. They didn't lose the NBA Finals because their offense wasn't good enough. They lost the NBA Finals because they couldn't defend anybody in the regular season. It was masked by the terrible Eastern Conference in the playoffs, and it was exposed again by the Warriors. So if you want to close the gap on the Warriors, you better find guys that can defend, not just score the ball.
Chris Fedor, thank you for all of your Cavalier knowledge that you've just dropped on us, and of course, bringing glory to 92.3 The Fan by choosing to play on our Media Ryder Cup team. Thank you. Thank you.
You got it, guys. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris Fedor. Of course, he was on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. If you missed any of the interview, go to 92.3thefan.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.